Hello out there. This is again another episode of Policy Without Politics. And we meant it when we say without politics. Our episodes that you have seen already would have justified that. You will see that we try to x-ray the issues, try to find out where the policy is effective and where it is defective and where there are gaps, we try to suggest. Not that we know it all, but it's important that these conversations are held. It's important that these debates around policies are held, because there is a gap and that is the reason why this program had become important. My co-host for today, as usual, is MCO. How are you, sir?
Great.
Fantastic. How have you been feeling? It's been raining.
I feel good. I'm wearing
this. Yeah, I can see.
This fancy shirt.
Yeah.
I've had this shirt for like...
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, you told me this.
Today, I've decided to wear it.
Yes, you know.
For audience.
Yes. You know, a man must have three things.
Yeah.
Intellectual curiosity, contemporary relevance, and classical elegance. Okay. So I've seen the other two. This is the third. This is the first time I've seen the classical elegance.
I must tell you about my pink shirt.
Yes.
I saw a gentleman once wearing a pink shirt and I loved it. And I said to him, this is a fantastic shirt.
Yeah.
And he says to me, okay. And he got me one.
Yeah.
I had that shirt in every time I tried to put it on, I didn't have the courage to come on. So I had that shirt for like 5 years. I never wore it.
Okay.
I think I'm going to wear my pink shirt next.
Next time. Okay. Yes. Fantastic.
You inspire me.
Fantastic. So today we are discussing the power policy because, there's a big power crisis in Nigeria. This is not a mere energy debate. Policy debate anymore. There is a big power policy, but it's worth talking about because I believe that at some point, if we get our acts together, we'll realize how important this conversation is, how important this task is, and pay the appropriate attention to it with a view to resolving it. Because if you don't resolve power, you have not started the conversation around development. But I remember vividly our teasers where you said that electricity is not for everybody. I don't think that's what you meant. You meant that electricity is not for everybody, but it's for everybody who can afford it. Is that what you meant?
Well, you can pass it any way you want.
Yes.
Look. The Germans.
Yes.
Who make the best cars, or who used to make the best cars, decided to create a car called the Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And Volkswagen in German means a car for the people.
For the masses.
Okay? Because they realized that not everybody could afford Mercedes-Benz. It's an aspiration. Life without aspiration
is meaningless.
It's meaningless. Mm. So yes, should people have electricity in a perfect world? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're not in a perfect world. And we're in a world where electricity has serious value for development. And so you have to say to yourself, what is more important? Is it development first and then charity second? Or is it charity first and development second? Because when you give somebody power that they cannot afford, it's charity. And I have found that charity is not sustainable. Kindness can be sustainable, but charity is not. So when I say power doesn't, well, not everybody deserves power, what I mean is, let's not use power as charity. Let's use power for development first. That's my point. And the people that are developed, that can do, that can pay for it, let them pay for it, so that when we develop, other people can afford it.
Oh.
But I think I've heard the reactions about my statements, but I stand by it.
Yeah, I get you, and I'm happy that you've explained it. And I'm sure by the time we finish today's episode, because this is the first time, we're going to go in depth about power and then the product of power, which is electricity. Talk around the policies around it. If there are gaps, we're trying to point to it. And if there are no gaps, we say, yeah, there are no gaps. We just need to fine tune. But on my way to the podcast, MCO, I was just ruminating in my head. I was asking myself, how do Nigerians even get on? How do the average professional in Nigeria get on? Because he's burdened with so many things. You know, if he leaves his house, he's wondering, is there going to be electricity? The doctor, for example, who should be calm, concentrating, you know, because it's, or the engineer who would require exactitude in his thinking. We'll be thinking about power. Is it there? Is it not there? It's an infrastructure that would help if it was there and taken for granted for professionals to sit down and think and, you know, involve in deep thinking. How do Nigerians, how are they getting by in your estimation?
It depends on what Nigerians you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't have that much sympathy for the person you're talking about. Or for you or me.
Yeah.
I mean, people, when I say these things, I'm willing to make the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay? So, take an example. I live in the US now half of the time, and Nigeria half of the time. In the US, I drive myself. I don't have a driver. I do my laundry myself. I make my bed myself in the mornings. When I leave a room in the US, I turn off all the lights. I have thermostats that restrict the temperature in my house to a certain degree I can afford. The middle class in Nigeria, or the upper middle class, or if you want to call it the upper class, I like to use middle class as a catch-all, have two or three households in Nigeria. I've been to houses where people leave the air conditioner on all day, so that when they come in from outside, the room is cool. I've been to houses where they have five or six living rooms, and each one has an echo. So the amount of resources available to a middle class is mind-boggling. You need to be really, really, really rich in the US or England. You're familiar with England to afford those things. Now, you may come back and say, well, in England, I can take the subway because it's there. Fine. And we should have public transportation.
Yeah.
But so when the upper middle class in Nigeria complain about difficulty, I'm not that sympathetic. Because the same me, I'm going to go to America next week. Mm-hmm. My son is getting married.
Okay.
And
he's in the middle class.
He is.
Okay.
And we're doing everything by ourselves.
Okay.
We don't have it. So, but let's talk about power.
Yeah.
Like I told you, sounds anecdotal. When I leave a room, I turn off all the lights.
Mm.
In many places in Nigeria, they leave the lights on all day.
Yeah.
I think that in trying to socialize power, we've made it too cheap for the upper classes and too expensive for the lower classes, thereby satisfying nobody. What we should be doing is making it fair price for those who can afford it and hope it trickles down over time so that everybody can afford it.
Who is this we?
Policy.
Now, I think it's a chicken and egg thing, because if you live in a society where the man making the policy is not living by the policy,
that's a problem.
It's a big problem. So does Nigeria have that problem? The answer is yes.
The answer is
now, in the United States, people can live like that because there's a safety net. There are certain things that you take for granted.
Yes.
In Nigeria, we don't have it. Again, it's a chicken and egg thing. So you begin to ask yourself, if I don't generate the revenue, that is the man making the policy and government, how do I fix the infrastructure?
Okay, well,
so it's a chicken and egg thing. So where do we begin? I think it's not
as much chicken as egg as you say.
Okay.
Again, you're familiar with the UK.
Yeah.
When the UK Prime Minister leaves 10 Downing Street, many cases you've seen it,
yeah,
they take a private car or a taxi.
Yeah. To the train station.
To the train station and they go home.
Yeah. Do we have a train station here?
Yeah. You know what we have? We have payment forever to governors. Governors are entitled to a house in Abuja after they left.
Lagos.
And a house in the
Lagos.
And a house in the Owerri.
Owerri does not come into the conversation.
Oh, you're from Owerri?
Yes.
Okay.
Owerri is well behaved, by the way.
They have a pension that continues. So my point is, it's not as much it's this policy.
So it's lead. So policy must go with discipline.
Yes.
So you must lead by example.
You must pay the price that we are asking us to pay.
Yeah, but the man putting the policy and the directives in place must lead by example. You can't ask me to tighten my belt. Meanwhile, you are gyrating.
That's what I'm saying.
In luxury.
So let's look at power in more detail.
Okay.
It costs approximately 2 to 3 times more to generate power.
Yeah.
With a generator than it costs with the band A. So there's no incentive. So what band A people say is, I'll take as much power as I can, but I'm willing to pay 3 times as much on my generator. What I am suggesting is that we make band A the same price as generator. Even at that price, people will prefer the band A, but we give them a guarantee. If you pay this 700 naira per kilowatt hour,
you have 24 hours.
You have 24 hours.
And it's guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
No excuses.
No excuses. Everybody who has a generator, after 6 months, will jettison the generator. Because now they're getting power 24/7 at the price they're willing to pay.
Yeah.
Because they are paying it already. With no noise, no exhaust, no interruption, nothing is guaranteed. Let's start there. If you did that, I guarantee you that the power companies will make so much money because they have 6,000 megawatts, which will be absorbed by these band A people if you guarantee them 24/7. So maybe we give generators to the band B people.
How do you give generators to band B?
You just dash them. Those guys that are
so government will have a policy that provides generator for band B and C.
No, if you have a band A, do you see a band A?
And you don't need the generator.
You don't need generator anymore.
Yeah.
Right? You sell it at a reasonable price because you don't need it. Mm-hmm. But you need 3 or 6 months to believe that you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So it will trickle down. It's no question in my mind that if band A is satisfied, Gerigu and Ecodisco will invest in generating more and distributing more. But now they are owed humongous amounts of money. So how do you persuade somebody to make an investment in power where a government who is subsidizing this power is owing them trillions? And those trillions that are being owed, they are owing the banks trillions. So you have a stalemate. You will not move forward with power in Nigeria. I say that without any fear, unless you get the rich people to pay for the power.
Yeah.
And if they do, and this company start making money, they will pay off the banks. They will borrow more from the banks. They will invest. That's the crux of the problem.
Yeah.
Now, I said to Dr. Professor Barton Naji when he was Minister of Power. I said, let us remove any caps on electricity cost for 3 years. He's an intellectual. He liked it, but he's a politician as well. He didn't like it. I said that to the Minister of Finance. I won't mention the name. The Minister of Finance. And they said, well, there's rural electricity schemes in America. I said, yes, because when you have something, you can now, we're trying to have rural electricity in Nigeria. Oh, we don't have power to drive industry. We put the cart before the horse and we should stop it. It sounds heartless, but it is not. It is not heartless to tell your son he can't have too much candy. Because you know it's bad for his teeth. He doesn't.
Yeah.
If you allow him, he'll eat a whole box of candy.
Yeah.
So we have to have some vision. And if I tell Ecodisco and Gerigu that they can charge whatever they want for power, and they can never charge more than the generator, because if you charge more than the generator, the person will keep his generator.
Yeah.
Charge whatever you want for 3 years. but you must double your capacity. I promise you that all of them will do that.
Yeah, I hear you. What I picked was stalemate, and I really think that, yes, that stalemate we need to dislodge, however painful it is. Because let me paint some pictures, picture to you.
As you paint the picture, just keep in mind,
yes,
we have a government. So a DISCO is, and a GENCO is owing the bank money. The federal government is owing the DISCO or the GENCO. The bank is being told by CBN that they must write off, they must provide for that loan. Same government.
Separate.
Government is owing this, this one is owing that. That the CBN, who's the regulator, is saying, this is your loan, you have to write it off.
It's a predicament.
It's a predicament. We must have a unified policy.
You are just reinforcing what you are saying, and I can see the picture clearly. Because, and the consequences, if you take Johannesburg, for example, Johannesburg draws more power than the whole of Nigeria on a typical day. Is that not frightening?
And they're having a problem.
And,
Yes.
It's incredible. And the economic cost, because you may hear this and you think that, well, it is what it is. But the economic cost is not an abstract. You know, 25 billion naira per year, World Bank is saying. That's what we lose in that context.
Look, when I was in university, I was in University of Lagos, and my father was a professor.
Yeah.
I remember many hours of study where I studied with a candle or kerosene lamp. Okay? And I studied and I graduated with it. And we maximized the daylight hours. But we still studied at night with candles. I'm sure. Maybe you didn't do that.
I did.
Okay. So when I say power,
I studied in the 80s too.
It's not necessary. I'm not being heartless. I'm saying there are things that are more important.
It's necessary, but it's not. It's an essential good that has to be paid for. Is that what you're saying?
Paid for, and it's not even on the top of the priority. We had a social idea. I asked a general, what's more important, supplying water to every Nigerian, to say electricity? You said electricity. I said, you see, you're middle class. You have not been to the village. You have not gone to the stream 2 miles away with a bucket on your head to fetch water. It still happens.
Right.
People still take their clothes to the stream to wash it.
Yeah.
So there are priorities, and we must, that's why I'm passionate about policy.
Right.
So when I say to people, I promise you, if you do the right policy, you have all the power you need. It's not magic. Electricity has been around since our 18th century.
Uh-huh.
It's not magic. There's no new technology to generating and distributing electricity. It's not me. It's a matured industry. But what you need to do is to have the incentive for people to create it. And the best incentive, sustainable incentive, is profit.
Yeah.
So MTN has, everybody has phones now. Now data is very profitable for them. Oh, data is everywhere. Okay? So you must give people incentive, and doing it socially, being soft-hearted about it. Oh, everybody deserves electricity at a reasonable price. No, we can't afford it.
Okay, I see your point. Again, it still reminds me of a chicken and egg thing, even though you disagree, because we just have to start. The issue for me is, where do you start? I think that you have to start with the right policy. But it must be disciplined. You must lead by example.
So we'll start with saying, if you live in Ikoyi, Victoria Island, Asokoro, all those GRA.
So pay for it.
Pay $700 per kilowatt hour.
Yes. So pay for it. And then,
but you have to give us a guarantee that we'll get the power. If you do that, all of us will sign
up. We'll line up, yeah. Yes. But let's look at what the current government has done right, just so that we don't paint a gloomy picture and end the podcast on that note.
I'm interested.
The Electricity Act of 2023, yes. I mean, is a milestone. I mean, the most structurally significant reform, you know, we've had in recent years. In fact, in two decades, for whatever is worth, is a milestone. Don't you think so?
What aspect? Is it the fact that it allows states to generate their electricity?
Yes, that is important.
But it doesn't allow them to transmit across the land.
Well, have they generated and not come back to tell us that the issue is transmission?
But they cannot generate at any cost that they want either.
Yeah, it's a midstream conversation.
Ah, so you tell them yes. They can generate electricity.
Yeah, because where I'm going is that at least power is decentralized.
No, because
I'm talking of the authority around it.
What happens is, because of political considerations and soft-hearted considerations like you seem to have, you don't go far enough.
Yeah.
Look, if you have a headache and the doctor says to you, you need 6 aspirins.
So you knock it off.
And you take 2. And then you say, oh, my headache is still there, but I took medicine. No. You have done nothing. What we need to do, policy-wise, is to do the right thing all the way. If you tell states that they can generate electricity, also give them the right to sell the electricity at any price they want to.
Yeah.
So that you don't have the national regulator regulating prices. There are people that generate power in Lekki, in estates. And they come and they tell them, no, the price is too high, you have to lower the price. If you want to liberalize power, let people who generate electricity sell at market. Then you'll have gone the whole way. They still have all these discos that are ring-fenced, don't they?
Yeah.
Right? So they didn't go far enough. But they clapped themselves on the back, we've done something.
Yeah.
No, I think that the Electricity Act
did
not go far enough and will ultimately prove to be defective. Mm.
So what you are saying in essence is that the economics should come before the politics.
Yes.
Yes. So because the ultimate goal for you is, cost-reflective tariff. Whatever it takes to get there, you get there. From there may be pain, like the headache you talked about. Knock off the pain, knock off the migraine, and then we build from there.
No, I don't like the expression cost-reflective tariff.
What does it mean?
It's too bureaucratic.
Okay.
I like the fact that there is no regulation on prices of electricity for 5 years.
Yeah.
But
is that not cost-reflective? Because what are you targeting?
But there's no tariff. You see, there's a tariff I object. Mm. I object to tariff.
You object to the tariff.
So, because what it costs you to generate in Benin may be different from what it costs you in Lagos. Mm. You cannot have someone in Abuja telling us you should sell it at this price. Mm. So if you do that for 5 years, but you give them responsibility of doubling their capacity in that 5 years. Mm. That's the best way to do it. Okay. Government is not going to do it. Mm. If I tell you can sell your thing at any price you want, but you must double capacity every 3 years, that's policy.
It's a very interesting topic, and if we debate it may take 2 years, but what you are saying is that we don't have time anymore. It's either you want to do it or you don't want to do it, because it's so important to our lives that you have to pay the price, lay the foundation, and then have the guarantee of your future life that is good.
Just to be careful.
Yes.
Some people are going to come back and say, well, in America, utility prices are regulated. Mm. They are.
Yeah.
You're regulated, and to increase price, you have to get approval in the US. But they have electricity.
Yeah.
We're not in the same situation.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
That's why I said 5 years.
Yeah.
When we get to 100,000 megawatts, fine.
Then you can do that.
Yeah. Yes.
So clearly for you, the question is, at what point does the number of reforms become part of the diagnosis?
Exactly.
You know, because apparently...
You're so elegant with words.
Because I have seen reform around reform. Because why do I say that? You know, we've had 4 major structural interventions in 22 years. Mm-hmm. Grid delivering 1/3 of installed capacity to 220 million people. Nigeria has been reforming since 2001.
And that's the issue. That issue I'm telling you about. Because we want to be social and soft-hearted about electricity.
Yeah.
If we're hard-hearted about it, we'll have 100,000 people. Yeah. If somebody... And you know, you and I have talked before, and I've said there is no official position, executive position I would take at 70. I'm retired and I love it. This is what I want to do. But if I was 60 and somebody said, we're making a making use of power, what are your deliverables? I'll say, if you give me the power to deal with this issue of cost, I will get 100,000 megawatts in 5 years. 100,000 in 5 years. If you allow Americans and Germans to come here and build power plants and charge what they want to charge, you will have 100,000 megawatts in 5 years.
Yeah.
And the price 5 years from now will be lower
than
the price in the first 3 years.
Yeah. Do you remind me of what happened in the telecom sector?
Yes, same thing.
Yeah.
But we're smarter. We're smarter then.
Yeah, no, we played less politics then.
I prefer to say we're smarter.
Smarter then. Okay, we're getting there and the explanation is getting clearer and clearer to even a 9-year-old, if he had listened properly, would see what the difference, even though it is difficult and intricate.
The thing you have to add to this is that all this socialist thing on electricity, we've been trying it for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And we can see it's not working. Mm. So when someone like me comes and says, no, let's do it this different
way,
at least give me a chance.
Give me a chance, yeah, because you can't do the same thing.
I'm telling you, 5 years.
Over and over and expect a different result. Are you an Arsenal fan? Because you tried something different last season and you won the league, even though they call it haram football. Because you were playing the beautiful football for 3 years, coming second. And then you said, no, there's a juggernaut in front of you. So to deal with that juggernaut, you came with your haram football and you won the league.
You see, I would have been an Arsenal fan if it wasn't for people like you.
Mm.
My brother, Lamido Sanusi,
yes, and you have Dangote.
You people are insufferable.
Yes.
Arsenal fans are insufferable.
Yeah.
So every time I want to whack Arsenal, I listen to you and I change.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. We'll discuss Arsenal as a topic, and that they were not insufferable, only that we understand the product, we love the product. We are not the likable fans, we are beloved fans. So we treat the ball with love and care.
That's why you've only won one championship in the last 10 years.
Yes, your club has done 13 years now. It's going to be 20.
I don't have a club.
Okay, the club that you have sympathy for.
No, I have sympathy for any club that's not Arsenal.
Now, let me ask you, because what government has been doing over time,
yes,
is it a social transfer designed to protect the poor, really? Why do I ask that question? You know, the discourse took unbroken infrastructure in 2013.
Yes.
It is now 2026.
Yes.
At what point does the privatization owner own the problem? Because these discourse are not owning the problem. You touched it a bit. The government has paid 1.94 trillion naira in 2024 alone to cover DISCO operational shortfalls. That averages 161 billion a month.
Yes, it's a subsidy. Government is paying electrical subsidy.
Yeah.
The minister did, Mr. Adelabu, was to reduce, you know, I'm a gradualist, so I may sound like I'm speaking from both sides of the mouth, was to reduce the size of the subsidy by band A, band B, and by band C.
Yeah.
But like I say, I love the policy. It didn't go far away enough.
Yeah.
It didn't go far enough.
Yeah, it's not far reaching.
It's not far reaching. Because I would have, even if it was doing band A, band, it should have put the time. You need to make these investors in electricity know that they will make money. And you need to make the banks know that they'll get their money back. Absent that, there will be no significant investment in that industry. And that's what's been killing it. There has been no significant investment in the power sector.
So you need to create the right environment and the right laws and the right policy for investors to come.
That is
where the kernel is.
And the way to do it is by profit. Yes.
So, well, the picture you've painted is quite clear, and the summary of it is that if you continue to pay the discourse like government is doing,
paying back subsidy
like the government, it's a payment to companies that cannot collect their own revenues.
They're collecting enough, but the price is too low. Right?
Yeah.
The price is too low.
So the effort in the collection does not match the revenue that comes.
And then so they have to be subsidized. Mm. And that's the problem. The subsidy is unsustainable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't lead to investment.
Okay.
If I asked you today to invest in a power sector, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, there are better areas where I can put the money.
Eco Atlantic.
Yeah, before you take your port period, just in 2 minutes, I'd like us to discuss the projection. Because 32 billion is being projected as what is necessary to solve.
That's 30,000 megawatts.
It's not enough.
It's a minimum.
Yeah.
It's a workable minimum.
Yeah, but even as not enough as it is, if I can use that word,
that's it, workable.
This is more than double Nigeria's annual capital budget across all seasons and sectors. So it tells you, the ramification of our problem.
Well, why is that? My point, I don't want governments to do it.
Okay, take it out of government.
I want the MTN equivalent in the power sector
to land in
to make that money, yes. To invest that money. Mm. If you tell the German power people who are looking for a place to expand, they can come and build a power plant from start to finish, and they can charge whatever they want to charge, they will bring that money. $30 billion is nothing for Germans. So again, leaving it for government. Government should supervise and regulate, but government should not be the lead investor.
Fantastic. So policy without politics. We, by way of teaser, introduced the power conversation. Now what we have done is bring up the curiosity in it, and then deal with the main subject matter during this episode. I take it there, and I want to believe that the issues that arose from that teaser have been adequately treated and adequately dealt with. If you have more questions, we're open. There are various means through which you can reach us, and they are going to be put on the screen, and you're going to see, so that you can reach us and we can have a handshake, because the conversations are elastic. They cannot be inelastic, isn't it? We can pull them different directions. That is why it is a conversation, and that's why it's a podcast. MCO, thank you very much. What of your pet peeve for the...
Yes. I'm going to surprise you with my pet peeve.
Okay.
My pet peeve is tribalism in federal government appointments. Now, we all can see that most of the important positions in these administrations are held by a certain group, tribe. And when you challenge them on it, they say, well, Buhari did it. And then they will go back and say, oh, good Lord, Jonathan did it. And I say to them, did you like it when Good Lord was doing it? Did you like it when Buhari was allegedly doing it? Why do you like it now? It's like saying, my neighbor beats his wife, so I can beat my wife. Two or three wrongs don't make a right. We must start letting people know that the country belongs to all of us and not whoever happens to be in power at the time. They are intelligent, competent, useful people from every tribe. Please, let us end this cycle. Let us end this cycle. Let us make it clear that whoever the president is doesn't necessarily influence the color of our appointments. It is real, and it is not. People don't feel good. I have friends in this government, and they point out to me, in one case, the appointments, I think there were 12 appointments from the southeast, as evidence of how balanced it was. And I said to myself, the entire southeast will give up those 12 appointments if you give them CBN. Appointments are not equal. We know CBN is more important than the Minister of State in Foreign Affairs. We know. So please, let's end this cycle. Next administration, whoever it is, please, you govern Nigeria. You do not govern any section of Nigeria only. This must stop. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's policy without politics for the week. Next week, we'll bring you a topic. I'll keep it to myself, but we'll teaser it. And then next week, we'll get you a topic that you would enjoy. Thank you very much. And thanks for joining.